Blog Talk Radio.
Anxiety sets in, I'm starting to pace. My nerves unsettle, sweat drips my face. Hands take, can't escape this decision I make. Heart racing, my faith says this is my fate. I just brace and I take in the face of adversity. Tasting this certainty, the breaks ain't hurting me. Gain on, a bomb of my pain stronger. Fame smarter, street smarter, train harder. Can't stop me, drop me, I'm not losing. I'm too fast, lightning even when I'm not moving. All heart, leave these cowards on cold. I'm hot, not to mention all the power I hold. Keep moving,
keep training, headstrong.
Be patient, meet them head to head. I don't care if it's the least safest. Not stopping, have a promise to prove. I'm a fighter, it's not an option to lose.
Good evening. It's Shelly Nunchucks. It's Sunday night, 9 p.m. Standard Eastern Time. I'm up here in Maine, originally a Boston girl, born and bred, as you can clearly hear me speaking here. You'll hear it as time goes on. Anyway, this is about my fourth show, and I'm learning as I go. So I'm very happy that I'm able to have this opportunity because I asked God for a bigger voice, and since I'm affiliated with the Diamond and Rough show, for my sister, Charlie, which I have to say, congratulations, Charlie. I'm very proud of my big sister. She just won a pageant once again, and I don't know if she's hearing me, but if she wants to call in and speak about it, I'll be more than happy to talk with her and forget it. Charlie and I, we get together, and we don't stop talking. We could go till like 1 or 2 in the morning, and I'm going to be very happy when she's back up here again because we are actually going to go see The Expendables. And I'm very, very excited about seeing this film. It has a lot of great people in it, and they're actually doing all their own stunts. And believe me, I'm not a chick flick type of girl, and I have lost, taste for Hollywood action films. I've been quietly, like, mostly disappointed in the Hollywood action films. And basically, it's just, some of the films, they just don't get my attention. And once again, I am not a chick flick type of girl. I mean, I like some romance movies, but they just bore me. Why go to a theater to go see something and cry for $15? Well, I mean, it could be more in some states because nowadays it's in 3D, so that's like $20, $25. And, you know, you have to sneak food in or snacks in, you know, just to save money to just go see the movie, which I really don't mind. I've snuck roast beef subs and stuff in the movie theater just to watch them, but just to get back to the films themselves, I'm very excited to see Expendables. You know, it's got Jet Li, Chuck Norris, Van Damme, Sylvester Stallone, Dolph Lundgren, It has Bruce Willis, but to be perfectly honest, I am not a Bruce Willis fan. You know, I mean, happy to him. I don't know him personally, so it's just like this is in when I'm writing on my Facebook, when I talk about a film and about an actor's work, it has nothing to do with them personally, because personally I don't know them, so how can I judge somebody that I don't know? It's just I'm not into the guy's work. You know, happy that he gets work out there, just not into Bruce Willis. There's one element that I think is missing. Of course, I'm a Jackie Chan girl. So, to me, that element, that one thing, an expendable, the second part, is going to be missing Jackie Chan. So, it kind of feels like maybe in part three, Jackie, make a cameo. But it does look like an exciting kind of ride in the film. So, you know, it's got other people like Arnold Schwarzenegger, just greats that have grown up with. So, I'm looking forward to seeing the film. Now, there's another thing that, you know, with films and such that kind of irk me when you're seeing over the past couple of years some of the films that have to do with vampires. And you all know what I'm talking about. You're all going to laugh because you're either liking a certain movie or you're not liking it. There's no in between. Once again, it's nothing personally to do with the actors. It's just that that series, Twilight, what happened to vampires? Do they become wimpier over time? I mean, I know about feelings and stuff, but the guy, I don't even know the names of the characters. But, you know, I tried watching, trying to have an open mind, and I'm just like, the vampire that's in the lead, why is he so wimpy? I don't know. Is he that way in real life? I just can't handle it. If stomach it, it's kind of like be a man, you know, take the bull by the horns and just be a man. You know he's a vampire. Supposed to have, you know, all the strength and stuff, but he's the wimpiest vampire I've ever seen on TV or in a movie, and it's just kind of like, it's just been losing its flavor with vampires, and I wish people would do a better type of vampire type of film, you know, teach their own. I mean, happy for the Twilight fans and such out there, you know, happy they got something to look forward to, but if you really think about it, over the last decade, vampires have become wimpy. And perfectly honest, I'd probably be on the werewolf side because perfectly thinking, what's his name, Jacob? He's so much better looking than Edward. I mean, it'd probably be on the werewolf side. So that's my preference. But when you look at films like Blade, I mean, come on. I know Wesley Snipes, you know, he's in jail for whatever. On my show, I'm not going to talk about politics, anybody's sexual orientation. It's just about dreams and films and such, and maybe me working with Jackie Chan doing dreams. But you know, I know Wesley Snipes is stuck in a situation. And once again, I'm not going to talk about the situation, and he's just stuck there for me another year. If Wesley Snipes happens to hear this, Wesley, please, oh, please, you know, get back doing to a Blade film. Please do another Blade film and show them what being a vampire hunter is about. I know Blade is a character where he's half vampire, who is born of, you know, from a vampire mother. And he's so much stronger, and don't even go there about the bodies, because Wesley Snipes' body will blow away the little boys in Twilight any day. Come on, I know people that are listening to this, they're laughing because it's the truth. They're little boys. I mean, it's just something, I mean, I'm old enough to be the Twilight's, the characters, I'm old enough to be their mom, so really, you know, I don't want to be known as a cougar chasing after all these young little actor guys, because, you know, it is a different generation. Maybe because it's a different generation, I probably wouldn't understand. Once again, more power to the Twilight people, you know, happy that they're fans of the series. It's just not my cup of tea. Once again, when I think of vampire films, I like my vampire to be nice and strong, you know, be able to fight. It's just something, I mean, seriously, when I'm 5'8", and if I seem to, you know, if the guy's a little bit more wimpy than I'm sorry, but I like a strong man. Someone that's really secure in themselves, because Edward looks like he's going to cry all the time. In every single one of his roles, whatever his name is, Patterson, why does he seem like he's going to cry? I don't know. Is it because he's going out with that girl from the film series? I don't know. Like, once again, I don't really care about people's relationships or whatever. I'm just so into the films. You know, like I said, I like to watch them and see, you know, if there's special effects. And personally, to me, it does matter that actors do the stunts in action films. It's just something where I'm kind of sitting here going, in today, you know, modern day, with training facilities and everything, why can't more actors and actresses do their own stunts? I mean, maybe they don't want to get hurt. I mean, don't they have insurances and such? I mean, personally, I know Jackie Chan is blacklisted from insurance companies, but then again, Jackie Chan, he's his own country practically. I know he comes from China, but he has, I mean, he does his own films, his own stunts, and he's been doing it for years. And let me say, Jackie Chan, 58, yes, once again, 58, his stunts will blow the stunts of Twilight any day. I mean, he even did an action film with the vampires, and I think the vampires were even better in his film that he did with vampires. And it's something where I just can't get over the fact of vampires being wimpy nowadays. It just is a turnoff. Women want our vampires strong and not weak. I mean, it's okay to be, you know, to have emotions and stuff, but please let the vampires be men and not something where you go, I mean, seriously, why would I like a vampire that is kind of like a woman? I mean, seriously, get some balls, grow some balls, and be a man. It's what I have to say. It's something that I'm so sick of seeing in these films. Be a man. Well, another thing I'd like to bring up again, what I've seen many years, and this has been going on since Hollywood, you know, since the beginning of filmmaking, and I tend to see, now I know it's, you know, what, yes, 2012, but sometimes I think with certain minorities, they don't get enough props, like with, you know, with some Asian films, and especially this one series, which I've been following, Cal Newen, and it is a type of apocalyptic kind of, it's not zombies, they're hybrids, and what he's trying to show, and I think the girl that actually wrote it, her name was Kelsey, she did a really great job in writing it, because it, even though it was kind of end of the world and people have to get along together at the end of the world, they got problems, and the characters are growing as I've been watching the episodes. It is not where girls are running around half naked. It's not just about blood and gore. It actually has a storyline to it. And believe me, if I had the money to fund this web series, I would, and I'd bring it to to television. And it's been winning a couple of awards, and it's been getting recognition. And I think Cal is doing a really great job. Now, with what he does, you know, with the crew members that he does, he tries to make the best of what he's doing. He's editing, directing, and in his next episode, he's actually starring more in the series. And I even asked him personally, I'm like, you know, Cal, you know, this is your thing. You're running the show. Why can't you be more, be a lead more into it? But he's doing everything himself, and he wants to make sure it's done right. But I do hope to see Cal in a lot more roles, because I do tend to think that Cal could be a leading man. So Day Zero has a Facebook page. You can check it out. You can watch the episodes. And I think in a couple weeks on a Wednesday night, his latest show is going to be on. And you can watch it a couple of times. I think it's like Flip TV in a couple of places. And, you know, it's not really bad. It's really, when I say decent, it's not putting anything down. I mean, compared to what's on TV nowadays, it's crap. Reality shows, come on, people. Really? I mean, people spending their money. People are complaining so much about these reality shows. If people are complaining about these reality shows, why are you people watching them? I don't watch them. I stopped getting television a couple of years ago because from what I'm seeing, the cable bills, hundreds of dollars. I mean, if I'm busy doing something, I can't watch something. Why pay hundreds of dollars for something where I'm not going to be there to watch it? It's a waste of money. I'd rather take the money and put it into films. Believe me, if I had the money, millions of dollars, do you know all these great people that I know, these talented filmmakers, even if I wasn't in a series or a film and stuff, I would help finance their films. I mean, I know so many great, talented people, and even, you know, stuff that I'm working on, I have to give mad props to the stuntmen out there. The stuntmen that have been talking to me for years, you know, in your films, I so appreciate you guys. After this weekend, I mean, it's just, I know I have a lot of work to do on a film myself called Valkyrie. And this is just the beginning, and I have to become the Valkyrie. Now, I have to really start looking into what this film is really about. It's about gods and goddesses and Thor, and my big brother, Hor Z, Deliza, is playing Thor. And I'm playing a Valkyrie, or I become a Valkyrie. And I don't know if I can really talk about the plot, but, you know, it's something where I'm going to play a hero. Now, the thing is, I'm learning my transformation. It's just like on a big Hollywood set. you have to train. And after Friday, having a horseback riding lesson, trying to start to learn how to gallop and trot, afterwards, my bottom was a little bit sore. It's not as bad as what I thought it was going to be, but taking these horseback riding lessons, and we were filming on location up here in Maine, and where it is, it's really beautiful. It looks like God's country because it looks like another planet up here. And Ahura is a very talented man. And just what he's doing, we get to watch some of the film, these dailies, and we get to watch it. And it's really amazing how much he's come a long way. Now, Ahura is also a composer, and he gets to sing with his wife, Sonari. So it's something where their voices are unbelievable. I mean, if you don't believe me, go check them out on YouTube, and you can go to his page, Ahura Zakora DeLeaser. Everyone calls him Z because people can't pronounce his name, and I just really recently learned how to say his name, Ahura Zakora DeLeaser. And I hope that's the correct way because I do have a funny Boston accent, and I talk funny sometimes, but people want me to talk, and, you know, going wherever I'm going, jobs and everything, people are like, oh my gosh, I want you to keep speaking. And I'm like, you know, I lived in Boston. I've lived in the inner cities my whole life. So thinking, you know, I mean, you know, I'm not talking like the suburbs. I'm talking about the inner cities where my accent is really thick. And my accent's even thicker than my friends from Boston. It's just the way it is. And I've never thought about it. So when I go to places, people ask me, are you from New York or, you know, another place in New Jersey, and I'm like, no, I'm from Boston, and people are like, oh, that's so awesome, keep talking, and they're like, say coffee, say this, say that, and I'm going to start charging people a quarter, yeah, a quarter, whatever you might want to say, and I hope you understand what I'm saying, it's about money, they'll charge them a quarter every time they want me to talk, so actually, I think doing this radio show, I kind of get paid anyway, so talking, getting paid for something the way I do, I don't think that's really half bad. Working on so many things and actually starting to get paid for things, I guess, you know, working hard almost every day for 7 years and not giving up, even on the bad times, where, you know, my days haven't always been perfect, but they've been getting a lot better. And I'm so happy to get up in the morning because when I get out of bed and I go to my job, it's something where it gives me great pleasure to know I can pay my own rent, to have a roof over my head, and also to know that the people around me actually support what I do because they're the most positive people and basically, you know, they want to see me succeed in my life. So I'm very lucky and very blessed with that. And, you know, I'm just very thankful that I get to do what I'm doing. And even starting to write more on the internet called Hub Pages, I had signed up, well, not really signed up, I don't know if you can say that, but got into this thing called Hub Pages, and you can write blogs, and I think after a while, you get paid for that. And I forgot about that. I did that a little while ago, but I've been so busy that I just started doing it again tonight. And everything I do was always related to my actor's name, Shelley Nunchucks. So you can always look me up, and if you Google my name on the internet, Shelley Nunchucks, it comes up all over the place. So I've been doing so many things for the past 7 years, writing, networking, talking with people. And I don't always say who I speak with, but for those that are listening to my show and the kindness that you've shown me over the years, once again, thank you very, very much, because I wouldn't be sitting here doing this radio show, you know, if it wasn't for half of you people out there. I wouldn't be able to talk about the things I want to talk and do the things that I want to do because I do have support now, and I'm very thankful for that. And anybody that's listening, thank you very much. And if you want to call in the show, feel free. It is toll free. It's 877-907-7217. And to let you know, the shows are archived, so even after the show, the broadcast ends, you can always listen to it over and over again, and hopefully, learning more and more as I go, I can bring a guest on the show. I just want to start doing this a little bit more to have more practice because I'm winging it. I'm learning as I go. Hopefully, I'll get better. If I'm talking funny or I sound like I don't know what I'm doing, I do apologize because I'm learning as I go. So I'm just going to keep talking until someone calls in and get the practice. I mean, my last show, a couple people did call in, so I guess that was kind of good. And anybody that wants to call in, once again, it's toll-free. It's 877-907-7217, 877-907-7217. And if you don't call in, I might just end up talking about Jackie Chan all night. Now, I don't know if people want to keep hearing about Jackie Chan because personally, I'm happier than I don't know what when I sit there talking about Jackie Chan. Speaking of Jackie, I think he's actually working on another action comedy film as I speak. He just recently finished a couple months ago, Chinese Zodiac, which I'm so excited to see. I'm so proud of you, Jackie, if you're listening. I don't know if you are or not, but Jackie Chan, I'm so proud of you. You do so many different things, and you get me so excited. You brought a smile onto my face for so many years. You inspire me so much. And the day, Jackie, that I get to sit next to you, and I get to work with you, because I know I'm going to work with you, Jackie. I will just be more than happier than anything. And the only thing I want, I mean, I don't care if I never receive another birthday present for the rest of my life. I don't care if I never receive another Christmas present for the rest of my life. The one thing I want is to work with Jackie Chan. And I mean that. I don't need birthday presents or Christmas presents, because I get up every day, and every day is a present, and every day I get up, I get to open up a new present, because you don't know what the day will, you know, will happen. And I'm getting these chances, so every day it's a blessing, it is a gift. So I'm very thankful. And as I talk and I say thanks to God, I just want to know, when I say that, that's just me. And whatever people think, or whatever the religion or the, it's perfectly fine, whatever. I mean, I just worry about my life and trying to make things better in my life to help animals out. If there's children that, you know, if, you know, they want my attention, you know, I'd probably sit with them and play with them. And, you know, I mean, there's so many things out there in life that is so much more important to worry about than someone's sexuality or all these stupid things that people have hatred towards. I mean, go feed the homeless. You know, go do something with kids that don't have families. I mean, there's so many things out there you could be worrying about instead of the little stupid stuff. I mean, please, you know, you complain about people's life. Worry about your own life. Make the world a better place. Go feed the homeless. You know, help out the hungry. I mean, there's so much charity work out there that you could be doing. Instead of complaining about something, go out and do something. I mean, you know, last year when I wanted to donate blood, I mean, I really can't give that much more blood as I can, you know, I need my own blood, I mean, to survive on myself here. But I guess the bloodmobiles, those blood vampires, they've been sending me a postcard every single month. And I'm like, what is this? It's like, you know, to give blood. I'm like, you know, I tried to do it once. Now I get a postcard every month. How much blood can you donate in a month? Aren't you supposed to wait a couple months for it to recycle in your body or something? I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I don't know these things. But, you know, how much blood can you actually donate? But I've decided, since I'm not afraid to give blood, people that I know, you know, if God forbid something ever happened to anyone I know, and, you know, my blood type is A positive, and they have me on file and, you know, donating blood, you know, internationally when I'm filed, knowing my blood is good, someone come to me in need of blood, I wouldn't be afraid to give blood. I would donate, you know, whatever, pint or whatever, because I wouldn't be afraid to do that. So anyway, I mean, seriously, people that have no lives and complain about others, go help out and do some charity work. I mean, really, you know, get a life and, you know, grow up and move on and just do things that can help out the human race. And I've done that personally in my own self, you know, be able to do things to help others. But anyway, to get back to films, once again, I'm very, very excited to see The Expendables. It's actually this month, and it's coming out, I think, August 17th. And I know I've got someone who I'm going to go with, my big sister, Charlie. And if she's listening to it, maybe she is, but, you know, I don't know if she can call in or not. I'm just excited. And she's the person who I want to go. Yeah. We're both action chick type of girls. And, you know, it's really great that I have a big sister because, you know, when you think about it, you know, you hear about these comments, and you read about them on the internet, and people complain about, you know, minorities. And I'm sitting there going, just shaking my head, just going, yeah. Well, you know, there's people that are, I know that people would consider minorities, and they're the most hardest working people, okay? My sister Charlie, who runs Diamond Rough Ordinary Woman, that's affiliated with her show, she's one of the hardest working women that I do know. She's raised a family. She's not on welfare. She was a state trooper, and her husband, in fact, is a state trooper. Now, she's Spanish background, okay? You want to talk about minorities? This woman has done so much. Not only was she a state trooper, but after, I guess, she's retired now, I believe, she's gone out. she's doing the acting thing. She does her own stunts and fights, and, you know, she trains in a martial arts, and she does much more. She hosts the pageant. She just won a pageant. I mean, this woman's unbelievable. She does so many things, and I'm like, sit down. Sit down and relax. Meditate, Charlie, meditate. She does so many things. I don't even know if this woman sleeps. I don't know. I really, really don't know, but she's an amazing, incredible woman, and I'm so lucky that I get to call this woman my big sister. And it's not about brown nosing anybody. It's just that, I mean, it's just the way I am. When I'm thankful, I'll just sit there and say that I'm thankful, because truth be told, I am thankful about Charlie being my big sister. There's another woman that I call a big sister too, Terry Bobsey. She, you know, she's a big Jackie Chan fan too. And the greatest thing about Jackie Chan, now there's over about 27 million people or even more on his Facebook page that like Jackie Chan. And the Jackie Chan community, we all, most of us, you know, we kind of bond together and we can sit there and talk about Jackie. And on our Facebook walls, we can share each other's pictures about Jackie. You know, we all get excited about the same thing. So it kind of feels more normal knowing that 27 million people, probably more than that, on this Facebook page now that actually likes Jackie Chan. So I kind of feel very special, because I really do feel like I fit somewhere in the world. And it is my big dream to work with Jackie. And it's just something that I've been wanting to do for a long time. I don't care what anybody says, because I'm just as good enough as anybody else. And this is what I keep saying to people. I keep writing on my Facebook page. You have a dream. Whatever it is, I don't care who you are, where you come from. If you live in the ghetto, if you're rich, I mean, probably rich, you get to buy you in. But wherever you are, whatever your nationality, whatever you, you know, wherever you come from, you, as a human being, is as good as anybody else. And if you have heart and you work on things, then you can achieve the impossible. And I just believe that I'm just making realities, you know, realities. Nothing is impossible in this world. You just have to work. Now, there's people that are going to say, you're going to hear people say the word impossible. And that's only because they're too lazy to do it themselves, or they think that it can't happen. You know, those are just words. Anybody says anything about you, those are just words. They can't hurt you. And a lot of people are full of hot air when they talk anyway. So just work on it. You want to do a film. You want to start, okay. You don't have money. You don't know where to start. All you have to do, get a piece of paper. Get a notebook. It doesn't even have to be the most expensive thing. A notebook, a pen, a pencil. Write your ideas down. This is exactly what I did to get to, you know, how I'm going to make my film The Dishwasher. What I did was take an idea, write it down on a piece of paper, idea in my head. You know, I wanted to play a hero, you know, some take my out of my own life, work with Jackie Chan. You know, the story's called The Dishwasher, because I'm a dishwasher. And someone I knew, Donnie Soares, he was a comedian I was working with at the time in the dinner theater, he said he would help me put it in script form. He wrote it in a script form. It was the first draft. Now, as far as I know, I did send it to Writers Guild of America East. I don't know how to bring it up again. I lost the, you get this document in the mail from Writers Guild of America East, so it's copyrighted. So, you know, if you have to send it out to actors and stuff. So then, you know, I was trying to find people who wanted to work with me. Now, I have to say and admit this, when I first started getting into the acting business, you know, even indie films and stuff, when I went to go audition, I didn't want to play the girl next door or whatever. They kept giving me scripts or having me read or do these things where they wanted me to play the hooker, the slut, the druggie and stuff. Like, oh, that's not what I want to do. And I kept telling people before I went to the audition, look, I don't want to do any kissing scenes or nudity scenes. And I can remember back in Boston, in Massachusetts, I told the people, this is one time, I'm not going to mention any names, but I told them, I do not want to take my clothes off and scream and yell. Like, I mean, perfectly fine, to each his own. It's not something I wanted to do. I went out in Western Massachusetts, I'll never forget this, and they had me on camera, a bunch of guys in a room. And I told them, you know, I don't want to do those things. And then afterwards, auditioning, they wanted me to scream, and I was like, okay, so I screamed. I don't think I'm that good of a screamer, but I did that, and they says, well, we have a pot for you. And this is a pot, and I says, okay, I'll listen to it. And I knew exactly what they were going to say along the lines, and they says, they wanted me to be strapped to a table with no shirt on and to be a victim or something. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. I didn't say that to them, but I was like, no, that's not for me. If you have something for me, you call me. So I did walk away. Now, I was getting offered parts, and there was TV series and stuff. I'm not going to say all of them. I mean, you'd be surprised at stuff that I got offered, and I turned them down. Now, people were like, you know, you're going to limit yourself. How can you do this? Because you're not even in SAG and all this stuff. Well, you know something? I'm a woman that knows what I want and people that I want to act with. I don't have to do things just because they're offered to me. I'm not signing in a contract, so I shouldn't be forced to anything that I have to do. And I had to fight and talk and network with people so they know who I am, you know, so they get a feel for me. Because once someone meets me, I mean, it's so hard to write on the internet about yourself. And if you do a demo reel, send a picture, a resume, people are not going to really know about you until they meet you in person. So I started meeting people. As soon as people meet me in person, they get a feel for me right away, and they know what I'm suited for. So I had to keep working and keep talking, keep writing, emails, phone calls, now Skyping, a video chat. It's constant all the time. When I'm not working my full-time job, you sit there, well, I sit there and I work and I talk to people and tell them this, and then people get me. They understand what I'm about. So now I'm starting to get a little bit of leads in films. Granted, maybe it doesn't seem like big Hollywood films, not as of yet, because we're working on Falcare. And let me just say, this is not a B-rated film. And I know the whole world is waiting to see what Z does and what we're doing. And he is not making any B-rated film. Let me see. I saw the footage, and it's not anything like, you know, how you see these indie films, and some of them you go, what the heck? How do they get money to do this kind of crappy work? Let me just say, it's looking really well right now. And I'm very proud to be part of Falcare and to be, I'm going to be turned into a Valkyrie. And let me just say, I'm going to be very proud once my transformation, you know, takes place, because I will do a martial arts photo shoot, you know, something that's really professional, and maybe I'll get a better headshot. But as of right now, I mean, I know people are trying to give me great advice, and I do appreciate that people that have been in the business for me, you know, longer than me, and I do appreciate the advice. It's just right now, everything's working well for me the way I'm doing. I'm just trying to spend, you know, have money to do my own film. I don't really have money to do a headshot, and I do want a professional, and I, like I said, I am thankful that people are trying to help me out. But I want to do things my own way, because if something is working and it's not broke, why fix it? So I shouldn't have to fix it. I should be able to do my own way, and like Frank Sinatra said, I did it my way, and this is exactly what I'm doing. It's working for me. And sometimes I swear to God that when I'm doing these things and it's working for me, people are like, well, you can't do that. I go, well, why not? It's working for me. Well, you have to do it this way, that way, this way, this way. And I'm like, well, you know, you want me to do it that way, but it's not going to work for me that way. And before, I used to listen to people when things were going my way, and it's, well, you can't do it that way. You got to do it this way. So when I tried it that way, it didn't end up working for me, so I went back to doing it my way, and it just falls into place. So, you know, I mean, whatever works for people, that's fine. Like I says, I just don't want to sit in a classroom. And, you know, no offense to the teachers and stuff out there that are teaching the acting classes, but you can't give me what I want. You can't give me Jackie Chan. So it's something, you know, if people want to sit in classrooms and learn or whatever workshops, none of you people out there can give me what I want. You can't get me to sit next to Jackie Chan. And no matter how many classrooms I take, you cannot guarantee that. None of you can. So what I tend to do for myself, you know, I found a way where you can actually meet Jackie Chan. There's Jackie Chan meetup groups and all this stuff through, you know, something where I joined. And I did it myself. So it's kind of like all these people that say that, you know, they all know this stuff. The one thing they can't do is get me to work with Jackie Chan. And actually, I think I'm doing a better job than half those people that say they know it all, yet they can't help me with my dream. So I have to do everything myself. And just talking with people And it's just something that I know I'm going to end up doing. And I know I'll repeat myself, but the other great thing is anybody that knows me, the one thing they say to me, oh, Shelley, I just saw a Jackie Chan movie the other night, and I thought of you. Or, you know, it's the other thing around, you think of Shelley Nunchucks, you think of Jackie Chan. So those two words together, those two names, I mean, what great of a feeling when people say that, like, Shelley, I thought of Jackie Chan when I think of you, or Jackie Chan, you know, I was watching the film, and, you know, it's really great to know that people actually do think that way. And that's going to be the best feel in the world. I mean, Jackie Chan's this international superstar, and here I am a couple years ago. No one knew who I was, and here I am now, people associating me with Jackie Chan. And when you have a dream, let me say again, and I hope people out there that have a dream, you are listening to me. I have the biggest dream to work with Jackie, to work with Jackie Chan. Now, come on. I have this big dream, and maybe you want to work on a film set. Once again, I know I'm repeating myself. It's not really that hard. You want to be an extra to start off with, fine. Get on a film set. Be an extra. See how films come to life. And let me say, doing film work, acting, stunts, it really is work. When people are working on sets 12 to 14 hours a day, they do get tired afterwards, especially if anything to do with makeup. And I'm not just talking about regular, like, you know, lipstick and eyeshadow. I'm talking about the latex itself, and having that experience working with Aurora, doing lots of, like, latex work and such, you know, to sit in makeup before you even go to film, sometimes that alone can take 2.5 hours, 3 hours just to become a zombie or anything along the lines, or, you know, do anything sci-fi. And you're filming for many hours just for a few minutes here and there. And not just with the makeup, afterwards with the blood. Yeah, the blood, you know, it could be anything where between chocolate syrup, and sometimes it tastes kind of minty. Yes, the blood and everything like that. And I've had blood poured all over me, and I've spit on out blood. And there's different flavors of the blood that zombies actually get to taste. As far as I know, it tastes like chocolate or mint flavor, the blood that you get to use. And it's kind of nice to know that half that, the guts and stuff out there that you see, like, in The Walking Dead and stuff, that looks gross. Actually, it's editable. I mean, it's stuff where it's made out of food. You can even make, like, snot, you know, dripping out of your nose and stuff out of, like, Metamucil. I mean, there's so many different secrets that I'm learning from film sets and learning about makeup, you know, about bruises and all these sorts of things, just watching how things are done. It's kind of amazing. And then it's like when you see it on film and you get to see things, I don't get that kind of that feeling where people are like, oh, that's so gross. I mean, if it's something that's really, really gross and you make me go, oh, I think I'm going to throw up, that means you did a good job, because knowing the stuff that I know now, what blood and all the special effects, it doesn't kind of freak me out anymore. But another thing, too, I just wish, if any filmmakers are out there listening, especially horror films, you need to bring back that feeling where there's stuff that will really scare you. And I'm not talking about, like, with all the special effects. I mean, take, for instance, okay, like things like Jaws or Halloween or something, you know, that just jumps out at you. It's something where people go beyond what the scary things, like, I mean, look at Jaws, and back at the time it was really kind of big where they didn't even show the shark, and you knew it was coming, and it scared people, and it scared people so much at that time, people were afraid to go in the water. Now, that's a profound effect when half of the movie, the thing that was scaring you, you know, you didn't see it. So when films do something like that to scare you really silly, and you don't even want to sleep without the lights, you want to sleep with the lights on, then you know a film did a good job. And, I mean, there's just so much overdone and overkill nowadays with films, and you're just like, why? Another type of this film, why? It's like nothing is original anymore. And you sit there and you wonder, is it even worth going to the movie theaters anymore? Maybe to go on a date and such, but really, if you think about it, it's almost, what, $15 a ticket? And then if you bring in kids, if it's treaty, I mean, what do families do? You know, you're going to spend what you're going to have to sign for a loan to go to the movies. And maybe it's not the filmmakers themselves, because I know a lot of indie filmmakers, I don't think they would charge that much for tickets to go see a film, because I love seeing films. And like I said, I'm not a chick flick type of girl. I love sci-fi. I love horror. I love so many different types of, like, action films. Those things, I want to go to the movie theater. I want to be entertained. I don't want to sit and cry. I mean, I've watched films where Jackie made me cry, and, like, with the remake of The Karate Kid. I'll get into that in a minute. But there was parts where Jackie Chan himself made me cry, and I'm like, no, Jackie, I don't want you to cry. And Jackie Chan is a really good actor. And people don't really realize that. They think Jackie is just this action guy. And people, like, actually say and have said to me, Jackie Chan sucks as an actor. My mouth is like, I just don't know what to say to these people. I mean, everybody has a right to their opinion. Sometimes I wonder if people are prejudiced because Jackie Chan's Asian, and they can't handle the fact that this man has done so well, and he is a good actor. You don't realize the films that he's done that had nothing really to do with action. He's done history type of films. He's turned down roles for leads to play like a cook and such. So that kind of shows you something right there, that Jackie does have, you know, good acting abilities. And a lot of times when Jackie talks, people, they take things out of context. Like, once again, I mentioned on one of my shows that Jackie said he kind of wanted to retire from the action films and kind of be like, you know, like a Robert De Niro. Well, the hate on Jackie Chan was saying was like, oh, Jackie Chan can never be De Niro. And he's like, he never said that at all. Jackie said he wanted to be, you know, do the films like Robert De Niro in his own way. He never said he wanted to be Robert De Niro. Now, when he says he kind of wanted to retire from action films, it blew up on the news as soon as he said that he's retiring from films forever. Who are these people? These are people like all these, you know, big news people on the internet saying that about Jackie, and I'm sitting here going, you know, do you not understand the words coming out of Jackie Chan's mouth? I mean, come on. This man has done so much, and I swear to God, I think people want to see Jackie in, you know, in retirement. Well, people, it's not going to happen. When Jackie Chan is ready to retire, he'll let the world know. And it's kind of really foolish for people to think that Jackie Chan is just going to quit like that. He's so hardworking, and he's so addicted to working. You can't make Jackie Chan do anything he wants to. Once again, Jackie Chan's his own world. He's his own country. And it's just amazing that this man can do what he does at age 58. And to get into another thing about Jackie, people complain so much about the remake of The Karate Kid. And I'm sitting there going, you people have no idea why Jackie Chan did the film. He actually did the film, you know, one of the things was to play homage to Pat Morita. Now, you're going to tell me, in real life, someone had a chance to play Robert De Niro, Al Pacino, I mean, Andy Garcia, anybody, they would do the film. I'm like, oh, please. You know, people that talk all this stuff, they had a chance to do something, please. People would sell it just like that, just to play, you know, a remake in Raging Bull or something like that. So please don't give me that, because people would do exactly, you know, just that. Now, with the film, on Karate Kid, I think it was done really well. And people were complaining about Jaden Smith. And I'm just like, you know what, the kid's a kid. And they're saying, oh, it's Will Smith's son, he's trying to throw it all down. I'm like, you know, people are such hypocrites, because anybody, any father out there that had the opportunity to give to their son every opportunity they could, they'd be doing the same exact thing. So that's what Will's doing. And Jaden didn't even star in a lot of films. This was probably like a second film, you know, in the Karate Kid. The greatest thing is that, you know, Jackie Chan, you know, really he is a teacher. You know, and it wasn't even about Jackie in his normal type of, you know, action type, funny comedy films. He played a teacher, and he did have emotion. And the film itself, showing those two come together, you know, because Jaden's, I think, father had died in the film, brought Jackie and him together. And it just had that wonderful feel to it. And actually, in 2010, Karate Kid was the number one film internationally. And that has to mean something. People talking about reboots and stuff. I mean, this was such a good feeling to go see the film because I was surrounded by so many kids when I watched the film, The Karate Kid, and all the kids were quiet. Usually, you know, you go to a movie theater and if this kid's there, they're all, you know, some of them can be talking or crying out. Not one kid while watching The Karate Kid. I didn't hear one noise from any children. They actually sat there and watched it. So, I mean, just seeing these little things with what Jackie does in his films, I mean, it's really amazing because when you sit in the audience and you see this and how it affects children that they're watching Jackie Chan, that's got to mean something. So that's incredible right there. I mean, Jackie has this great spirit about himself, and he just shines when he smiles. So it's something where, you know, it does bring happiness to millions of people. So his films, if that's what he gives in his films, and it makes millions of people happy, you know, that must mean something. Jackie Chan is not an in thing. He's been in for decades. He hasn't gone anywhere. He might slow down a little bit. I mean, yes, Jackie Chan's getting older. And when people say Jackie's old, that's one of the most disrespectful things you can say. Because Jackie has given so much, and he still continues to go. He's one of the most humane human beings. He gives back in charity work. And people, for them to say these things about Jackie, and I know, I mean, no one has to tell me. I mean, I know Jackie does a lot of great things, and he's a great human being, and he just does so much for the world, and people just want to throw Jackie Chan away with all things. They just want to push him into retirement, just throw him away like a crumbled up piece of paper, like with everything that Jackie Chan's done in the world, and they just want to push him into retirement, just push him away and, you know, put him in an old age home that he doesn't count anymore. Well, in my mind, I don't care what anybody says because Jackie, he is great. He's one of the best actors in the world internationally. And I know a lot of Americans are not going to agree to me, but I do see Jackie in a lot of his films and he actually in the acting roles himself, even in his films, when you see the expressions in his face, when he becomes really red, I mean, come on, that's acting right there. When he gets mad and you see, you know, those great expressions on his face, one of the secrets on doing that expression, he puts his head between his legs to make the blood go to his head to make him turn red before he fights. He has the greatest expressions when he's acting. So that's something that doesn't matter because if you don't have great expressions on your face, I mean, how are you going to show how you're feeling? I mean, if you're going to cry and such, and I've seen Jackie cry, and especially in the Karate Kid film, when he was sitting in the car with Jaden, because I guess his wife and child in the storyline got killed by a drunk driver. So throughout the film, in his house, he's building a car. He finally finishes it, and when Jaden, he actually goes to Jackie's house as he's training, and it's like Jackie's like, all upset, destroying it, so he goes to sit in the car with Jaden, and Jaden's, you know, relating to him, and Jackie's crying. I just lose it. I start bawling like a baby looking at Jackie cry. I don't know why. If I see Jackie Chan cry, I just can't handle it. I just feel really, really sad when Jackie gets sad, but, you know, Jackie, he's always going to be the greatest to me. I don't care what anybody says. I've been a Jackie Chan fan my whole life. And working on something, on a goal, to work with Jackie, that's what matters to me. And people have been helping me for so many years now. Every filmmaker I've worked with, you know, you're just preparing me for a bigger thing for myself. And I think self-care is going to be a very big thing for me. And I just have that feeling that people are going to see it, you know, the film that Ahura is doing, and people are going to love it because we're putting our heart into this. We're working so hard on these films. And let me say, I mean, Ahura is working really hard. He's doing so many different things. I'm just doing the acting and the stunts and the fights. So I'm just doing those things. But everybody else, you know, that's part of Unicovia. I don't mean not just the actors, but I mean like so many people that are part of Unicovia for the film Valkyrie, they're doing so many different types of things. And it's too bad the days weren't longer because Z could actually use extra time on the film. And when you're an independent film company, you have to do everything yourself. You don't necessarily have this big crew like in Hollywood films. So sometimes when you finally get to finish filming, you're up so long getting that music together and editing films. And it's something where, you know, it's really hard working to do these indie films. People don't realize when you're doing an indie film, all the work that does go into an indie film. Because some people that, you know, work on Hollywood films or people that just watch the Hollywood films, they don't like indie films. And I'm kind of like, you know, in independent films, I think sometimes the people work even harder than on the Hollywood films because you're actually having money coming out of your own pocket to make these films. And I personally know a lot of independent filmmakers that do struggle. You know, they have to pull money out of their own pocket from their own job to make these films. So I give a lot of props to a lot of people that I've worked with. And it's just really amazing that they can actually finish the film. And sometimes for films themselves, the independent films, sometimes they take a couple years to make. And it's amazing once you see that masterpiece up on the big screen, it is kind of like, wow, it actually got done and you got to see it. Now, a lot of people, they're going to say that some independent filmmakers and their films,
well, it's really not that successful.
Why? Because they're not making millions of dollars. Well, let me just say this. When you make something, you put your heart into something, and you finally see that product, and it's up there in the big screen. You're sitting in the movie theater. It got done, and you got to see your art up there on the film screen. Now, when you really go to the movie theaters, you know, you're sitting there. I mean, how many times do you really see a film unless it's on Netflix or something? You're in the movie theater that once. You're not thinking about who's sitting around you or really how much that film is bringing in. You're there watching a film because you want to be there. You want to see the stories. You want to see the characters come to life. And that's what filmmaking is about. I really don't think it matters how much a film brings in. People are going to say, well, if the film doesn't bring in all this much money, well, then it kind of sucks. Well, not necessarily so, because sometimes independent films, they seem to get my attention more than the Hollywood films. And believe me, I'm kind of almost picky, and I'm getting to a point where independent films, I've actually enjoyed them more over the past couple years. And if I see a film, believe me, I will watch a film like 1,000 times. And actually, I can take this as an example in the film Inventory, and I should get Justin Feeling, the director that I work with in Boston, on the show, because I had so much fun working on Inventory. And they actually took my love for Jackie Chan and put in the character. Now, this is my personal experience. This is what I've been doing in films. People know that I like Jackie. They know I can play strong characters. They write sort of my love for Jackie into my characters. Yes, I swear to God, this happens all the time. The film Inventory, it was kind of a slacker kind of film. It had a feel to it. And the way we auditioned, I mean, to make the film, it was kind of a little bit different and unique. It did get played in the movie theaters a couple times, and I actually enjoyed it, and I've watched it over maybe 2,000 times. And I actually enjoyed it. You know, it's one of those things, you know, it's kind of, I don't know if you call it black comedy or whatever it is. It's like, it has its good, you know, ups and downs. It runs slow, it runs fast. I mean, it's just one of those types of films where if you know Kevin Smith, it's that type of film where it's like, how can I say, the Breakfast Club's The Clerks, because what it is a slacker film. And the slackers themselves works in a furniture store. Now, the film Inventory, like what it says, Inventory, where clerks were supposed to be doing inventory in this big, huge furniture store. So when I went to audition for it, I was just having this bad time getting there. and I was looking for it at Boston. It's like I lived in Boston anyway, but just trying to find this place. People were just driving me nuts, and there was a lot of crazy people on the road that day. So I finally get to park, and I'm in there, and I'm like, you know, I kind of just, like, you know, lost my mind. Just thinking, okay, you know, I just kind of like, I step safe, F this and F that. I'm just like, I don't take crap from anybody, so... You know, I'm sitting there, and I'm, like, in the audition room, and actually saying these swears, and people are like, oh, my God. And I'm thinking that they, you know, I'm not going to get this part because I'm just, like, I just don't have patience for this right now. I don't even know. So the people that I was auditioning for, they heard me saying all this stuff, and I'm in the room before auditioning, and they're cracking up laughing. I don't know if they got me on camera or anything doing like this. I can't remember if there was a camera at the audition that day. So people are like, oh, my God. So when I went to audition, they just had me audition with a Quentin, who was actually a guy I was paired up with Tucker. He played Tucker in the film. My character's named Jackie, hence Jackie, you know, like Jackie Chan. Actually, her name was Maria, but since I didn't want to be called Maria, I want to be called, you know, after Jackie Chan, Jackie. And, you know, before I even knew about what the film was really about, they auditioned us, and we just hit it off where, you know, where we were paired up. And we're supposed to do this counting in this big furniture store, like I said, the film's called Inventory. And when I did my audition, the person that I was paired up with, he had a very calm kind of composure, and I was just off the wall. So they paired us up, and it actually worked for the film. And the film itself, you know, I had to go off crazy, like really, really crazy. Do not ask me how I did it. I don't know how, because I was up till 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was working in a fitness place, and I was working in a couple of gyms at the time, and I had to open them up at 5:30 in the morning. So I don't know where I got the energy from. Maybe it was energy and Coke, pizza, or whatever. Justin Fielding fed us, got us candy, chocolate, just to make us go, just to do this part. It was kind of, I don't know if you want to say breathtaking or not, but before we even got into filming, my scenes, you know, we're doing a little bit here and there before we did my big scene. I did some, some improv in the car when Justin was driving a bunch of us home. So I was going off about these jobs that I had my whole life, and I just made them laugh so hard. It was really late when we were getting driven home by Justin, and Justin almost crashed the car with what I was talking about, and the guys are all laughing and just pissing themselves laughing, and they're just like, we got to get you to do this stuff in the film. I go, okay. Well, you know, doing it and then actually being there on the day of filming, it was really harder, and I was like trying to remember what I was doing because I'm great at doing improv, and, you know, I'm that type of actor. So, indeed, to try to do this, you know, full force, just going nuts with the character, where I'm not even mad. I'm not mad at the two guys that I was playing off of, Dennis Hurley and Quentin. And so I had to go off and Dennis and actually, you know, swing nunchucks at him. Yeah, I did have nunchucks in the set, and I'm swinging them around, and I almost decapitated Dennis. So it's kind of like, you know, this thing, you actually see it in the trailer, and I've actually been posting my scene on Facebook. And it's just kind of amazing how I had to scream at these guys and be mad at them, and I wasn't mad at the time. And when you're looking at it, it's like, it's kind of crazy, you know, that I'm actually doing this, and people are like, oh my gosh, you know, when it was playing in the theaters, Justin had to do a lot of Q&A, and I couldn't really make all the appearances. I made the one appearance back in Boston, but the audience members, they would question Justin, saying, you know, is Shelly Nunchuck's not really nuts? And Justin's like, no, she's really a nice girl. And what I wanted to do with my character, I wanted to play the most annoying, the craziest type of character that you can ever think of. And they're like, you know, some of the comments writing down from the audience members or comments, both of them were saying, that Jared character was the most annoying character. Go, well, yeah, if people are saying that, I did my job right because that's what I wanted to come off and being the most annoying character in the world. So I did my job right. So in the film when I was working with Quentin, the guy that I was paired up with, where we were supposed to count, he acted like kind of like, you know, a sensei. Like he was very calm and his demeanor, and he had great composure. I don't know how he did not, like, laugh. I don't know how well he could hold his composure, because me going off on these rants, just going on and on and on, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I had to bring it. And let me tell you, then be at work at 5:30 in the morning and keep bringing it till 3 in the morning and just being that crazy, mad, you know, not being mad at all, and how to do this acting thing. I did a really great job because it doesn't even look like I'm acting. The thing that happened, too, while we were filming, doing my part, the cameramen, they couldn't stop laughing. They were laughing so hard they had to stop shooting, leave the room, get the composure, and come back in. So they had to keep doing this because the guys, the camera guys, couldn't stop laughing. Justin was laughing, and it's like just doing these rants. I mean, they're like, let me loose on the set, and I just came full force. And that's what I do. When I do my characters, I will give 110%, 200% in the characters that I do, and I will give it my all. And even if I'm passed out on the floor afterwards when I'm, like, you know, done doing my character, it means I did a good job when I'm exhausted. And I will do my very best when I'm playing a character. And I've learned from when I first got into acting things that aren't suited with me, and that was very naive because a couple things that I got involved with, I really thought, you know, I was going to be more involved in a couple of things, but tend to find out, you know, if you really think about it, like my point that I'm trying to make, trying to get the right words out, I'm not a Barbie girl type of girl, not a lipstick model. And I do tend to notice that Hollywood wants to have this look for women. So the thing that is, I've noticed on a lot of sets, they wanted to give more attention to these other type of women. You know, I don't have anything personal. Like I said, you know, acting and stuff, I don't have anything personal against, you know, any actors or actresses. But to notice that I had to keep making these people look good, and I'm like, what is that doing for me? Because I did an internet series, and I thought it was going to be so much better than what it was. Once again, I was naive when I first got into acting, and it was kind of like failing this web series was actually to really promote these other poor girls. And once again, I have nothing against these other girls, but thinking, okay, you know, it's kind of like, it's kind of funny how when you first get into something, especially acting, how you think something was going to go much better than what it was, but it never ended up doing what I thought it would do. And, you know, happy for any of those other actors, but it never went anywhere. It had full potential, but I think like most of the shows, they want to push girls with certain looks that are Hollywood style, you know, that Hollywood look. And the thing never took off, so I quit after a season because I just started getting this bad vibe with this web series, and it probably could have went in another different direction. But really, I don't think it was something, I guess, maybe at the time when I first got in, it was something good for me. But, you know, if you feel like something doesn't work for you anymore, I wouldn't continue doing something. I mean, I've done dinner theater shows, but after a while doing things for a couple of years or whatever, you know, you outgrow things, and you want to grow more into doing things. And, you know, when you outgrow something, you just want to move on, you know, whatever it is. And I can see that with after, you know, TV shows and such. I guess actors, they just want to grow after a while. When you see something like a TV show on for about 10 years or so, I mean, how much can you do? And I think people, they just get kind of bored with their TV series or the films after, you know, part one, part two and such. They want to do something different because anybody that's an artist or an actor, they want to do something else. And I think they just want to grow. But sometimes I think they get stuck in certain things. I mean, it's not really bad. I mean, you know, you grow up, I guess I grew up in the 70s and the 80s, and you see certain TV shows and you always remember that. But then I hear, you know, actors complaining about like, well, you know, I'm stuck, you know, as this thing immortal forever like this. Now, if you do something and so many people remember you for that with, you know, whatever TV show or film, and it's brought happiness in their life, that means you're immortal in their heart forever. You have a place in their heart forever. So that means you did something good. You made people that were growing up, you know, appreciate, you know, what you did for a time in your life, something that you did, whether it was a TV series or film. You gave your heart, you know, to do that at that time. I mean, I don't know, maybe some people were just in it for the money. You know, sometimes I know that does happen. Some people just do things for the money. And I've learned in acting, I just can't do something just for the money. If I feel like I'm a good fit for it, I'll do it. But, you know, if I don't think I'm not a good fit for something, I'm not going to do it. Even if I was off the road, I don't care. I'm not going to do something. And people are like, well, how can you turn things down? You shouldn't be so selective. I mean, why shouldn't I? You know, just because I'm offered something, I should take that. Well, I think I need a drink of water. I've been talking over an hour, I think. Well, I'm sitting here talking nonstop, and it's after 10 o'clock. So I think I'm going to end a little bit earlier. And maybe there'll be another show tomorrow night. My original shows were supposed to be Wednesday nights at 9, but I guess the way this is set up, I can do as many shows as I want, and it's 9 p.m. Standard Eastern Time. So I guess that's pretty good. I wish I knew how to, maybe I can take a commercial break. Not a commercial break, but let's see. What can I play a song? Maybe I can play something for my brother, Z. Let's see what this says. I'm just looking at the songs on here. Let's see if I can play something. What's this? Oh, okay. Let's see. There's a few different things. So I'm going to play a couple of songs for my brother. It's just a few minutes here. And this is from Aurora Cordelisa. And he actually does make some music, so let's see. I'm going to play this right here.
By the power given to me, and through the light that lives deep inside me, and in the nature of those who've made all
Well, that was my brother, Bahor Zakor Deliza. I am a Pisces project, and I'm going to play one more song. And actually, you can actually find this stuff off of YouTube, and you can actually buy them, the songs that my brother does. He's a great composer. There's one other one that's actually that I really like, and if I can say this right, it's also another one he does with his wife, Sonari, who seems really lovely. It's called Asthenitis. It's A-T-H-E-N-A-T-I-S, and it's actually a video on YouTube. You can actually look it up, but I'm also going to play this song. Give me 1 second. Here we go. Okay, and that was another song by my one of my big brothers, Zohor Zakor Deliza. And let's see, I want to play another song. It's actually from my younger little brothers, Crosby, Tatum. Actually, it's Laz and Kat from Triceptor Studio. It's the song Feel. So I want to play that. I was actually in this music video, so you can find that on the internet. And props goes out to Crosby, Tatum once again. He just got funded for a film called Surprise, Surprise. It's possible that it could be making an appearance in that film. So I want to play a song called Dill by Laz and Kat. And I had a ball working on this music video with him. So give me one moment. Here we go.
Yeah. Laz Ritz. Kat a B. Miss Smith and Envy. For the little 9, y'all. Yeah. Check this out. Yeah. Triceptors Studio. Check it, yeah. Yo, chillin' in the club, toastin' it up, having some fun, just enjoying the love. I saw you walking by looking all upset. That was a cue for me, just the end of the set. To take you from your low, bring you to your high. Tell you positive things like how you so fly. After the club, meet me at the ride. We'll go to the beach, count the stars in the sky. In the meantime, tell me about your 9. You're the finest thing that's dressing all wide. Clothes you got on is a major turn on. Me looking at your mind is an instant all on. Yeah, God, it's the way how you touching me. Sending me a vibe right through my body. You're so attractive and I'm so addictive. Yeah, that's something different, I'm dying to get with it.
Ooh, I like the way you always pushing on me. Ooh, I like the way you put yours on my body. Ooh, I like the way you always on my mind. Ooh, I like the way how you do it every time.
said, used to chew girls up like now and later. Used to have 10 shorties all up in the jazz. Used to bang them all out like they never really had. I was going buck wild, I really didn't care. Had the blinged up loops plus the line up here. So fresh, so clean, y'all can help to steer. Living like Liberace where I kept the spare. Till I saw you, you opened up my eyes. A way to show me love, it was death a surprise. Never ever met a girl who kept it so right. Never ever met a girl who matched my left or right. Now it's just me and you, let's play one on one. What we playing for, she said, I said for your heart. Accept the invitation, let's have some fun. From the nighttime sky to the early morning sun. Like,
how can I approach you on this? You make my whole heart to flip. When you're near me, I get chills. Without you around, I'm going ill. I'd probably die if you were mine. Fuck you for murder, you're a crime. Looking in your eyes, I feel I'm fine. But do this now, don't waste no time.
Hello.
Hi, caller.
Hi, no, I saw your show was on the front page saying what was on air, and I was quite intrigued about Jackie Chan. You said, do you want to work with Jackie Chan?
Yes, I do. What is your first name?
Neil.
Neil? Hi, Neil. This is Shelley. Yeah, what? It's true. I do want to work with Jackie.
Yeah. Are you an actress or something?
Yeah, I do some acting and some stunts and some fights. I do a little bit here and there, and I'm actually working on a couple of films right now.
Right. Well, no, that was it, really. It just piqued my interest, really, didn't it? So, ordering in.
Yeah, I'm actually... the reason why I want to work with Jackie, it's almost... it's something that ever since I was little, I've watched his films.
Uh-huh.
He's inspired me so much. He just, I mean, I'm not Jackie. I will never be Jackie Chan. I'm not a black belt or anything. I trained a little bit in martial arts. I trained a little bit in capoeira for about 2 years and a year in Tai Chi. And, you know, I can do my own little thing. And it's something where, you know, to have that dream, that goal, and I tell people, when they have dreams, you know, if you work on it, it can come true. And I don't think it's impossible with the internet and everything nowadays. Everything's a little bit easier.
Huh.
It is possible to work with him because he has many different characters in his films. No, not just all black belts and stunt people. It's just that doing what I do, you know, past couple of years, I'm just starting to get leads in films. And
yeah.
I've been working, you know, doing that. And it's just my goal, and it's something that I want to do. So, you know. It's just something that I believe it'll happen in time. So I've been working on this for 7 years and now doing my own film, getting that done, where I'm actually going to get that to Jackie. It's homage to him. It's dedicated. He's always made me laugh for years.
Yeah, he's quite funny, isn't he?
Yeah, and it's just something where I think now where people are starting to support me. Now it's not just like a dream, it's people actually want to see me work with Jackie. I actually have some supporters because I've been talking about it for the last 7 years, and when you put something out there, people hear it, and they just know, you know, they just have this thing when they think of Jackie Chan, they think of Shelley Nunchucks, because that's my actor's name, and
right.
I've done a little bit of work. So where are you calling from? I hear your accent, like, is it English?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Yeah, so you're calling all the way from England. Cool. What time is it there?
Oh, well, it's gone 3 a.m.
3 a.m? What are you doing up?
Yeah, I'm a bit of a night owl. I know you found out about this blog called Radio yesterday, and I couldn't get to sleep, and I thought, I'll just check through, and I clicked the on-air
thing.
And I thought, oh, I'll, I'll just click Skype and see what happened, and it went through. So
this is really cool. See, this is Walk Talk Radio. From what I found out, anybody can, you know, they can get a show for a half hour. But since a woman that I call my big sister, her name's Charlie, she does an Ordinary Woman Diamond in the Rough show. She said, you know, I'll give you a slot, which she set it up for Wednesdays, and it was 2 hours.
Yeah.
So I can do whatever I want, but since it's set up the way it is, and she was doing a pageant this weekend, and it's set up for every night at 9 p.m., and I'm like, okay, no, I'm like, am I supposed to just go on the air even since it's a half hour? So I've been trying to do it to cover it because I really don't know how the show's supposed to run, so I'm here, and if people want to call in and talk about dreams or whatever they want, something inspirational. And I've got a couple of callers so far. I just started this. So I just started it last Wednesday. So it's something I've got a guest lined up for the show. But as of right now, I'm just seeing how everything's running. And when I have a guest on a show, I want to make sure I know what I'm doing. You know what I mean? It's like I've already asked people and they said yes. So if you happen to tune in, I mean, I have a Facebook page. If you want to friend me, I'm always posting on my pages. So
yeah.
So what do you do? Is your name, it says, when I called in, it says Tom. Not
yeah,
a telephone number, it says Tom.
I tend not to use my real name online.
Okay.
But when you asked me, I just said my real name. I tend to not use my real name online.
Yeah. Well, mostly anyway that acts, I mean, really, do any of them really have real names?
Yeah.
You know, so that's perfectly normal in the entertainment world.
Yeah, but you just, when you actually talk to someone, when it's not text, you lose that kind of, you know, when you're talking to someone or it's on Facebook, you're kind of anonymous, aren't you? But when you're actually talking to someone, you just forget it's weird. It's like I'm talking on the phone. You know, so if you'd rang up like a shop and I said, well, what's your name, sir? You wouldn't make up a fake name, would you? You know, you'd say it, so.
Yeah, I actually go by Shelly Nunchucks, even in my IMDb page. That's what I really go by, and I'm hoping to legally change it to that. So that's my real name, because no one knows me, you know, my last name's Finnegan, and I don't really, I just have that on my, that's actually my name, you know, Finnegan, it's the name, but I don't really go by that, it doesn't seem to fit me anymore, the name itself, I mean, everybody comes up with an actor's name, and half of my background from family, I mean, I'm born in America, but half of my family, you know, came from, like, Italy, and the other half is Irish. Finnegan, I mean, I don't really know what parts of Ireland they came from. It's just that all I know is my father's side is Irish, and the funny thing is his family is out there in Montana.
Hmm.
So it's kind of like, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like there's an Irishman out there in Montana. You think it would be more like city, so it's like, hi, you know, country, an Irish country guy.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, it's kind of a weird concept, but you know, it's just really strange with my family. You know, it's like thinking, okay, half of it's, you know, from the country, half of it's from the city. They're Irish and they're Italian, and I wonder why I've been so messed up my whole life. Like, where do I fit in? You know, and it's like, and then the martial arts and stuff, where does that fit in? You know, learning about certain things, like, where do I fit in my family? You know, it's kind of like, not a bad black sheep, but it's kind of like, you know, being a different, maybe a white black sheep, kind of that type of thing. It's like, where do I fit in? But going to find out more in my family, on my father's side, there are people who actually train in martial arts that I didn't know about as I was growing up.
Right.
So making that connection to go, oh, it all makes sense, and everything that I'm doing where growing up, like living in inner cities and around Boston, having these talents where I didn't know where it would fit in because I was on an archery league when I was growing up, and it was nothing to do with school. It was something my father was part of, and I became part of being of an archery league and doing all these things they go, but in my life over the past, like, 20 years, where does it fit in? All these things that I've been doing and go to find out, it's like getting into the entertainment business, all this stuff that I know, it actually connects because it's stuff that I can do in films.
Yeah. Yeah.
So things make sense. And getting into the entertainment business, you know, I've only worked on two big sets, like on the game plan and working on the remake of The Women, which I don't know if I'll ever work on another film set with all women again, because I really wanted to pull my hair out of my head. And it was something, no, seriously, I was like, I didn't know what I was getting myself into, because sometimes they just, you know, they want you to go to a shoot. Sometimes, you know, you audition, or they ask, you know, they already know your profile, whatever, and sometimes you just show up. I mean, most of the time you do audition, but it just happened, like, to show up to the one there, and when I was in holding, it was all women.
Mm.
And I thought these women were going to go insane. I think half the women that day on the set in holding, I think half of them lost their minds. And I was sitting there, never, ever again will I work on this type of film. And the only one that I was thankful for actually was Jada Pinkett Smith. Where,
right, did you work with her?
Well, I didn't have lines, but the thing that happened to me is, like, there was other actresses. Meg Ryan was in it, Annette Bening was in it, and Deborah Messing and Jada Pinkett Smith was there. Now, I didn't bother them. I mean, they were there standing around. I didn't really go up to them, because when you work on a big set, you're not really supposed to bother the actors, and you're
yeah.
not supposed to ask them for pitches. And so there was a thing there with my shoes. I called them my hooker heels, because, I mean, I can't wear heels. I can't wear heels. I walk, I'll fall over. Like, no, you're cutting down a big tree, I'll fall over, because I'm 5'8". So I had these things. I called them my hooker heels, and they're big, thick heels. And they make me even taller. So at the time, I didn't know I could wear pants, and I was like, I was even more ripped and more in shape, so I wore a mini skirt, and I felt so uncomfortable. I said, I'll never do this again. And they said, you have to be like as if you're at a club and stuff. And I said, okay. So I'm walking around, and I'm sticking out like a sore thumb, because I'm really tall and a mini skirt with you. I'm all leg. And I'm going, oh, my gosh. I said, this is the most uncomfortable feeling, where I just stood out, and my legs were, like, I think, bright white at the time. So it's kind of like just seeing these legs walk by, and I'm like, oh, man. You know, I was like, I wish it could have changed. But when you're filming, whatever you're wearing that day, you have to wear it throughout the whole day. So I'm sitting there in a miniskirt. I go, this is so uncomfortable. I'm never wearing a miniskirt at a film shoot ever again. I'll have jeans on or whatever. It says it's not something that I feel comfortable in. But I had this thing where thinking, you know, being on set, be as helpful as I can. I went up to the casting person that was in front, you know, in charge of casting, and I know he was getting frustrated, so I think his name was Kenya. And I told him, I says, whatever you want to do, throw me over a bar or anything, just ask me. So I guess it was the very last shoot of the night. He grabs me and he goes, this is what I want you to do. There was a table where they were all sitting, and Jada Pinkett Smith was back to me, but I had to walk around the bar.
Right.
So the thing that was really great, what had happened, is Jada actually stood up for me. And I'll never forget this, because this was like one of the first time I worked on a set. Now, she's, you know, a big name, Jada Pinkett Smith. So there was a lamp. I don't know why, what happened, but it fell off the bar, and it broke in a million pieces. So they picked up the pieces, but, you know, you can't, they didn't sweep it. They just picked up whatever pieces. Like, I'm going to, like, I was like, okay, I was really nervous, because they told me to take my shoes off. And I go, I don't have any other shoes. And they're like, well, you have to walk in the scene. So I'm like, but I'm going to cut my feet. And they're like, well, we don't care, because you have to walk in the scene. And I'm like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? So I was so nervous. And Jada, she turned around. She saw the whole thing. I don't know the whole conversation, but she told some guy, she's like, said something along the lines, go get her shoes. Like, yeah. What are you crazy? Go get her shoes. The guys ran, the guys that work on the set, not Kenya, but the other guys there, they ran and got my shoes and brought them to me. Jada turned around on her seat, you know, when she turned back to do her scene, and I was like, I wanted to go up and thank her and say thank you, you know, that, you know, you stood up for me. And I'll never remember that. She didn't have to do that, but, you know, she did stick up for me, and so that my feet wouldn't get cut, I was able to walk around the bar. It's not in the film. I mean, maybe if it was sometimes if there was, it was on the cutting room floor, because they did have the camera on me. But that's what you do with extra work. Sometimes you do get in film, but then they can cut it out of the scene. And I was kind of like, oh, man. And I got to walk right where they were. And, you know, it's kind of awesome. You know, that's the first time, like one of the first times I got on a film, you know, they're there. But like I said, you can't really bother the actors. You're there to do work. That's what you're there to do. You know, you have to be reliable, you have to be on time, you have to be there. And sitting around, you know, 12 to 14 hours a day, sometimes you're not doing anything at all. So you bring a book, or like me, I bring my Jackie Chan book, I Am Jackie Chan, or my nunchucks. And, you know, it's kind of like I'm trying to practice even more to become even better with them. So those are the best things that I do. So, and are you in the entertainment business? Do you do anything, or just do, you know, 9-to-5 jobs, or like what do you do?
Well, more like I work, I'm on the computer, and like a website management and moderating and stuff like that.
So do you do like a lot of internet services, like websites and such?
Yeah, just it's more like tech support, really. You know, if people have a problem, I'll get, you know, I'll talk them through it. You know, and I'll run a few websites on, you know, well, help out on a few websites in my spare time as well. I didn't really pay very well, but it pays the bills, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the way you got to think of it, because a lot of people, like, it doesn't pay, but nowadays, I think it's better to have some sort of job than no job at all. You know, that's the way you got to look at it, because when you pay your own bills, and, I mean, here in America, I don't know how it is in a lot of countries, is like a lot of, like, people that, like, I don't really talk about politics and stuff, but I see that a lot of people are going through a hard time, and it's kind of like, where are the solutions for the people that have a lot of big families and stuff, you know, and they need jobs? So it's like, you know, I mean, anybody says they can't stand a job and this and that, it's like, well, you have a job, a roof over your head, and you should be proud of that. You know, you're not being a bum. You know, you're working, and you have a roof over your head, so that's a blessing in itself. Believe it or not, that is a big deal nowadays, that you have a job and a roof over your head.
Yeah.
So, that's something, you know, and it's kind of cool. 3 o'clock in the morning, you call me over here. I feel like blessed here. I got someone calling and staying up for me. That's really sweet that you did call in. And, you know, if you ever feel like calling in, or, you know, I usually have the show at 9 p.m. Standard Eastern Time, so I guess that means 3 a.m. in England.
Yeah, it's, well, say I'm not really up this late that much, but I was just, I couldn't sleep, and I thought, oh, I'll just have a look online for something, and then, you know, an hour goes by, doesn't it? I'll just check my Twitter and whatnot, and I ended up back on here where I looked yesterday, and then I saw that, you know, just read yours, thought, oh, I'll check that out, and then, yeah, it's crazy. Click a button and you're talking to someone across the other side of the world.
Well, it's really neat. They have, like, video chat and Skype. I mean, all this stuff, this technology, I'm still, like, learning, and, you know, I'm kind of a tech target, because I'm so horrible with electronic equipment. Just learning, I got that, I guess it's a deal where you can get a free droid with a cell phone company. And I got mine free, and it's this phone that's originally like $500, and I got it for free. And yet I have no idea what I'm doing with it. I'm lucky I know how to dial. I don't know nothing, believe me. I just, like, I try to learn as I go, even learning things about on the computer. It's like, yeah, it's great with technology, but if you don't know what you're doing, how good can technology be for you if you don't know how to use it?
Yeah, they tend to assume you know quite a bit nowadays, don't they? With, you know, with the technology you get, they assume everyone's tech savvy, whereas when it first started coming out, it was all, like, explained to you, wasn't it? And, you know, it was kind of like if you'd never touched a computer before, you're all right. But now they kind of get rid of that kind of stuff, giving you all these options and things, and some people don't know what they are.
Yeah, it's really kind of amazing. I mean, I'm lucky. I learn as I go. It might take me a little while longer than mostly a lot of people, but once I get the hang of it, you know, I learn. And even learning how to edit videos, where I'm trying to learn other things, because not just with acting or if I'm doing my own stunts and such, you know, try to learn so many different things so I can be more of an asset in the business. And I know, like, programs and stuff, like, some programs came with my computer. So what I did is I made two videos so far, like just taking pictures and such, and just making a video for myself. And then another person, I call him one of my other brothers, his name is Jay Giannone, and he's out there in Hollywood, and he's worked with, like, Jason Stratton. That film Safe, I don't know if you heard of it.
Yeah, I saw that recently.
Oh, did you see it? Do you know the guy with the shotgun? He was one of the detectives.
Oh, yeah.
That's Jay Giannone. He's actually from South Boston, and I'm from there, too. And he's been doing a lot of work in Hollywood. He's been getting roles, and that Jay let me use one of his songs, Inspiration, for one of the videos that I made for stuff that I want to put together. And I made a video for his song, Inspiration, and clipped his video, his pictures, and put them together. And actually that song, Inspiration, is actually going in my film, The Dishwasher, that I'm dedicating to Jackie.
Cool.
So it's kind of like learning things. And I bet you're pretty tech-savvy, right? I bet you can make videos, right?
Yeah, I do dabble now and again with the videos. I tend to use PCs, which aren't really the best for. Well, if you was wanting to make like a really good film, they tend to use Macs, and that nowadays.
See, that's what I'm trying to learn. I mean, there's so many things. Even the computers, I have no idea. It's like computer technology. I'm just like, oh my gosh. I was like, you just want to have your own personal. Special person to help you out in your own household that can actually, you know, set everything for you. But I guess in a way it's kind of good that I'm learning because, you know, some people, they don't want to learn. You know, they get stuck where they're stuck in a certain way. And if they don't get a hold of it, they won't do it. You know what I'm saying? It's like an older generation. I mean, I know people nowadays, some people don't even have licenses, you know, and I don't even know how they get around. You know, like little things like that. I mean, technology is really, really crazy. And I don't know if the technology ever crashed, we'd be kind of up the creek with other cattle. You know what I mean? It's like everything's technology. How would we survive? Because everything would be down. If we had like an outing, I think people would freak out. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't think in today's society. If that did happen, like, you know, thinking of the film Terminator, where the machines took over everything, what would we do? Do you know what I'm saying? It's like it's silly to say, but if technology crashed worldwide, people would be screwed left and right. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like they wouldn't even know how to do basic functions like years ago. We didn't have the computers. I mean, I don't know what your age range is because I was like, I just tell people, you know, I'm 41. And I remember the TVs themselves, we had like an antenna on this black and white TV, and we had to turn the knobs, and the knobs would come out. We had like, it would be like up to the top knob was like UHF or VHF, and the bottom one was UHF, VHF. And when you got a few channels, you were golden. You were kind of like, you know, you got the aluminum foil to like make the coat hanger antenna much better to work. I mean, it's something, we've come so far. Yet, when computers crash and stuff, how far have we become? You know, how far have we come since then?
Yeah, we definitely rely on them way too much. So, I mean, I saw a program on telly, and it was showing you like one of these main. I can't remember what it was called. It was somewhere in Switzerland, and there was this. It was almost like a warehouse full of giant server computers that you've probably seen them on in the films, you know, with all the lights flashing. And he was showing the guy, the workings of it. And there was this little box with, like, two lights on. And the guy, the presenter on the show, was looking at them. And he says, make sure you don't flick that switch, otherwise half of Switzerland will lose their internet. And you thought he was mucking about, but it was actually true, like, you know, half of Switzerland's online thing is running through this one tiny little box, you know, and like if that breaks, I mean, obviously they can probably switch him over to another one quickly, but you know, our everything that we rely on is probably stored in one little warehouse, you know, and if something happened to that warehouse, you know, we're all offline, you know,
That's like insane. It's kind of like to think where, do you remember, I don't know if you're old enough, do you remember floppy disks?
Yeah,
and then they went up to the hard disk, and nowadays it was like something they have this thing on Facebook, they always have these comparisons from years ago where they showed all these disks and all these hard disks, and nowadays they show this little tiny thing. It's like this little stick you stick into the computer, and that's all you need to keep memory. And it's amazing. You know, it's kind of like, wow. And even the technology in films where the CG and all the green screen, and sometimes I miss when they used to make, like, models, when people used to carve things and put models into a film. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. All that stuff. And it's like I kind of miss that feel to it, because sometimes when they do CG, it looks too fake. They try to do too much, and then it ends up looking too fake.
But it doesn't age well, CG, does it? If you The Matrix, you look at that, you know, when that was out, that was like incredible. But if you look at it now, because we've seen improved technology, if you look back 10 years, it starts to look really bad, because it keeps getting better and more realistic. But if you was to look at Avatar in 10 years time, it won't look as good, whereas with a model it looks the same no matter how far back you go, because it's real, you know.
Yeah, so you get that, you know, it's kind of like you miss some of those things. And you know, everybody wants so much technology, but I've talked with other film people and they're like, you know, sometimes when you have a ship or you see all those sci-fi TV shows where you want to see some of the models in it to make it more realistic, to make, like, you feel like you're there. I mean, of course, like, if you're in space or something, you're on a spaceship, of course, you know, there's no way, no one can really go up and out of space. So if you've never been an astronaut and such, I mean, you see stuff in films, of course, a regular person is not going to know, so they would have to leave it up to the filmmakers for the imagination for space. Like, you know, people that don't know things, that's a different story. But, you know, even spaceships and stuff, you kind of want to make it look like it's real. Like, you feel like you're actually in it. You know, that's the feeling with some of the ships when you see them and they do all the CG, and it's kind of like it doesn't feel like you're really there. It kind of loses it with technology. And sometimes I even think that film Avatar, I think it was too overdone. I don't know if that's just me or not. You know, you kind of get that, like, why does it have to be so overdone? You know, and just bring a little bit better, you know, more of the plot. You know what I mean? Like, put more into the plot. And I really think if you make a film for less money and you sell a film and you make more money, I mean, nowadays in Hollywood, they spend millions and millions of dollars on films. And I've said it a couple times, since I am an action chick kind of girl, not a chick flick, I grew up watching action films and watching those overseas, the great Chinese films, Asian action films.
Yeah.
Hollywood can't compare to those films. I'm sorry if people don't like me when I speak like that. Some people might not agree with me, but really, if you see what they do in Asia, I mean, they're not. They're just totally off the wall. And they don't have all the safety equipment like they do in Hollywood. They'll just do it, and they'll, like, they'll break bones and everything like that. But, I mean, there's great stunt people that are actually out in Hollywood, like James Woo and Arnold Chan. I mean, I could go on and on about some of them, the great people out there. They don't get a lot of recognition. So it's kind of like, I guess, whoever has the most money has the say. That's the thing. I mean, I always wondered how is it in England with films? I mean, how do you view? I mean, I really want to know, because I live here in America, and I know my point of view. I know what I like, but in England, what do they think of the Hollywood films in America?
Probably feel exactly the same way you do. They make millions and millions every year as well, and our own films tend to not do that well. You know, we've never really had like a proper action film, really. You know, if you compare something like Die Hard, we've never really made anything like that. You know, there was one film called Hot Fuzz that was like a comedy.
Hot Fuzz! I know, yeah. I didn't see that. That The guy, what was it, Shaun of the Dead?
Yeah, Simon Pegg.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved Shaun of the Dead. I've seen that 50 million times. That film was awesome. I really enjoyed that one. I didn't see Hot Fuzz, but, you know, wanted to talk with people like yourself from different countries, and it's like, you know, maybe I'm in a minority here speaking the way I do, but it's kind of like, wow, people from other countries feeling the same way I do. It's like I see, then I feel like I know I'm right.
Yeah. I mean, like, you could talk to an American, like someone who's my age, who's an American, about things we grew up watching movie-wise, and they'll be exactly the same, like The Goonies and Ghostbusters, you know, things like that. We grew up with them as well. We obviously had to wait a few more months to get them at the cinema. It's not so bad now, but before, you know, we tended to have a long gap with the internet and everything. They tend to release them all at the same time nowadays. But, you know, we grew up pretty much watching it. TV's different. We tend to watch more of our own TV. But when it comes to movies, it's usually Hollywood that does the best.
Yeah, it's kind of like, well, the thing is, from what I've been, like, I guess I've been kind of blessed because I get to see films overseas. Like, I don't know if you know what Bollywood films are.
They do quite well over here. Because we've got quite a large Indian population as well. So they have, like, proper cinemas over, like, specifically for Bollywood. And they'll have, like, marathons that go on for, like, 12 hours. And you can actually, you pay, like, I don't know how much it is. But you actually get, like, a meal as well while you're there, you know, and drinks. So you can stay there and watch, like, 4 or 5 in a row.
That's awesome. When you can watch 4 or 5 in a row, you can stay there. I mean, that's like my type. That's my type of heaven. It's really, you know, to be able to go, and I mean, I don't know what the difference is in the currency and stuff, you know, dollars and such compared to over there. Sometimes the tickets here can be up to like $15, and if it's 3D, and I'm like, why can't we see a couple of films for that price? I would love to spend a whole day in a movie theater. I'm not kidding. That's, you know, that's my life. That's what I love. And to be able to sit there, I mean, years ago in America, I know that, I mean, maybe because television has grew, but Saturdays was a very big day. They would have the news. They would have cartoons. They would have the feature and so many different things. They would have cliffhangers and all these things, exciting things. But I guess because of TV and internet, everything's changed. But to sit in a movie theater for a couple hours or, you know, so many hours, that would be heaven to me. Like, really, truly, I would certainly enjoy that. You know, straight up, I would love being in the movie theater for, like, 6 hours, you know?
Yeah. So, I'm not a big fan of Bollywood. My brother's mad on it, and, yeah, he's not so much now because he's got a kid. But when he was, when he was younger, he used to go quite a lot. And, you know, he just said it's just incredible, you know, and everyone, because they'd have, like, probably a half-hour break between each film. It wouldn't be, like, straight in. But said, you know, once the film starts, it's like, you know, there's no one talking, no one on mobile phones. They're all very, like, respectful of what they're watching, you know, and they said it was incredible, you know.
Yeah, that must have been amazing because now it's like, you know, when you go to the movie theater, you should be shutting your cell phone off. And they even say it with the common attractions to shut the cell phone off. And I never could understand that. Or they can put it on text. It's like, because when I go to the movies, right, since starting to make films and such, I like to watch, like, the common attractions. I could sit there for a half hour, love common attractions, see what's coming. You know, you enjoy those things because it's just something that becomes part of your life. And then it's, even at the end of the movie with the credits, I sit there and watch the credits because I was like, oh, I wonder if this stunt person did this film or something. And it's like, I want to see that. I want to see, like, everything and just notice everything. And when you work on a film set, I've worked on a few, you start watching films differently. When you're watching a film, you're more aware of, you know, where the camera angles are and stuff. And you start noticing these things and you don't watch a film like how you used to.
Yeah.
So, it's a whole different point of view. And I could sit here and talk and talk and talk, but I guess the show, it automatically shuts off in about 9 minutes. So it's something I don't want to, like, I don't want to be disrespectful or anything and just cut you off, because it will shut off automatically. You only have a 2-hour show, and I guess when I get to talking, it'll just it'll just go by pretty fast. If I had a 5-hour show, I think I could talk forever.
Yeah.
So it was very nice talking to you, and I'll just call you, like I said, Tom on here. That's what I see here. And it was a pleasure speaking with you, and feel free, if you find me on Facebook or whatever, you know, it's under Ashley underneath the name, Shelly Nunchuck Finnegan, just like the show. So you can friend me there, and then you can see all the pages I run and everything that I do. So feel free to friend me and call at any time.
Yeah, we'll do. Okay.
Yeah, and make sure you get some sleep.
Yeah, I'm yawning now, so I'll to get to bed.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. Goodbye.
Well, Tom, you have a good evening. Well, it looks like it's almost the end of the show. That was interesting. It's kind of cool that you actually do get to speak with other people. So Tom was actually from England, so that was kind of cool. So Blog Talk Radio, you get to talk to people internationally around the world. Imagine how technology is nowadays. It's quite amazing. So let's see. What do I want to end the show with? Let's see. What's on the list here? Maybe someday I'll be able to actually get to download types of songs that I actually like, learn that. Oh, let's see, through the list. Let's see. Not so sure half of these songs here. So, let's see. Oh, okay, I'll end with this funky song my brother did. This is really funny. It's just like one of those things that's called Get Off. Get up off your seat by Horace E. DeLisa. You're just going to laugh. It's just like one of those fun-loving songs. So this is by my big brother. So anyway, everyone, have a pleasant night, and maybe I'll be doing a show tomorrow. All right. Bye-bye.
Let your hair hang.